Well, it's day 12 on my travel to orbit, heading to Mars, because there's water on Mars. But remember, if you stand in the water on Mars and shoot yourself in the foot, you will die, which is kind of funny because you can shoot your buddies in the foot and they will die also. Did that a lot in the vault. Kind of fun. Anyway, there's a lot of fun stuff to talk about today. First off, guys, when Xur is in the tower, legacy engrams. The legacy means they are exotics from year one. They will drop at the year one stats. You will not get 280s, 290s, or whatevers. They're going to be 160. Legacy means they're old. I don't know why they cost 31 coins. Stop buying them and complaining that you're not getting the new stuff. Because they said in all the updates that you are not going to get the new stuff out of these legacy engrams. They are legacy engrams. They are old things. Do not buy them and then complain. Buy them to flesh out your collection, fine. But don't buy them and complain that you got something that's old. That's what they are. You don't buy a Whopper and complain that you got a Whopper. That's just insane, actually. But don't even buy Whoppers. I guess you could buy Whoppers, that's fine. Anyway, fun stuff happening in Destiny. You Titans, you Hammer Brothers, you Hammer Bros, whatever you guys want to be called. Apparently you guys can throw hammers like crazy. There's an exploit that if you pop your super and you're hitting L1, L2, right bumper and right trigger, or whatever configuration you're playing on, you hit all these four buttons at one time, and you can pretty much throw as many hammers as you want, like, very rapidly, one every half a second, until your super's up. So you can just throw crazy amounts of hammers across the map, across the screen. I'm sure tons of people are going to be doing this in PvP, and just making so many people upset that they're doing this. It's kind of funny. I think exploits are funny. Bugs like this that get found, like whenever the Warlock could self-res, and then, or before he would self-res, if he died, he could go swap his super, pop his self-res, go back to it, and he still had his full super. A little bit more complicated than being able to throw unlimited amounts of hammers, but it's pretty fun. I mean, they're going to patch it. Just a matter of when. Use it while you can, I guess. I don't know if you would use it in PvP. You could get banned for using exploits or something, but I'm sure we'll try and use it in the raid, and we'll try to use it on the Nightfall for this week, since it has a solar burn on it. So enjoy your hammers while you can, because your hammers, you will have to drop the hammer. So yesterday, I was playing. I was doing the Taken of Mars missions. Now, this is an 8-step quest chain, and it's pretty fun. Varix has you going all around, figuring out what the Fallen are doing after the fall of Skolas. Okay, and starting off right there, let's talk about the story that, guess what? Bungie put in a tie-in from their last DLC. I'm always asking, you know, what about these guys? What about these guys? But then, like, hey, you guys destroyed Skolas in the prison. Guess what? Now the Fallen, they have no Kel. They're unorganized. They can't figure out what to do. Let's go investigate because there's some activity. So Varix has us running around, killing Taken, killing Fallen. You're going to the moon, you're killing them there. You're going to Mars, you're killing them there, which is crazy because usually, you know, the Fallen haven't been on Mars previously, and now they're on Mars. And that's where you find an Archon Priest. So you go over, take down the Archon Priest, and then Varix has you go and take down a Walker. And then you got to find, guess what they've done? They've put back together another Servitor God, so now you got to go destroy him. And all this time, Varix is making mention of them looking for another Kel. And I was like, well, I mean, what about Varix? Maybe Varix is going to make a play here to become the Kel of these scattered houses of wolves. Maybe that's going to play into the next storyline. With Varix having Petra as an ally now and having a little bit of a force. Petra's, I guess, the pseudo-leader of the Fallen. Not the Fallen, of the Awoken, currently. Until the Queen comes back, because we know she's going to come back. She's not dead. So maybe Varix has enough power in order to take all the Fallen in and have them, you know, become allies with the Guardians once again. Maybe we'll stop fighting the Fallen. I mean, this is all speculation. Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, the Fallen here, they, you know, brought back another Servitor. It wasn't Sepix. It was a different Servitor. They rebuilt it. And you go and destroy it. I'm sure they're pissed off. They're like the Empire in Star Wars. Like, we just built this Death Star and you destroyed it again. Come on. It's like, you guys just, you know, we just built this Servitor so we can follow around. Just barely got him back up and floating around, and you come in here and you throw some rockets at him and he dies. It's messed up, Guardians. Anyway, so maybe future, down the line, Varix is going to play more of a part instead of just being that weird, creepy guy in the reef that you rarely go to nowadays. But it's pretty exciting. So after you finish this quest chain, I'm like, all right, look, I'm at the end. Take down the servitor. I'm going to go get another piece of armor. It's going to be light level 300. I'm going to put it on. Hopefully it's some boots, since my boots are only 295 and they're still blue. It's like, sweet. I'm going to go level up here. Get my light level higher. So I go, yo, Varix, what's up? I killed all these fallen for you. What are you going to give me for it? And he's like, here you go. That's kind of a weird Varix voice. But he's like, here's a bond. 230. What? I just killed all these fallen for you. Set you up so that you could take over to be the new Kel of Kells. And you give me a 230 warlock bond that I stick on my arm. That's messed up, Varix. That's messed up. Delete that right away. It's like, stupid quest chain. Why would I even help him? He's going to give me a 230 warlock bond. It's like, oh, look, Petra has something. I'm going to go talk to Petra. Varix has me all pissed off and angry with a 230 warlock bond. Like, Petra has an exotic for me. It's like, oh, okay, cool. So Petra gives me the Bulleen Gemini. Now this is an exotic scout rifle, and I am digging this exotic scout rifle. So even though Varix disappointed me, he was probably just trolling me. They were like, hey, check it out, Petra. We're going to give him this thing. He's going to think he did all this work for nothing. Then bam, you give him the exotic. Oh, yeah. So it is a fun question. I really liked it. But after we get this thing, this weapon is awesome. It sounds cool. It feels cool. It looks really cool. It drops at 290, which is really awesome. Takes up an exotic slot, but so far I've been liking the weapon. I don't know how much I'm going to like the weapon with the stats on it and with the perks on it. So the perks aren't spectacular. The first note is unflinching, so it's easier to aim under fire. And you come under a lot of fire. I'm pretty sure this is more of a crucible scout rifle, which is fine. So it's easier to aim under fire. It's got single point sling, so you switch weapons faster. It's hammer forged, improved range and accuracy, perfect balance, extremely low recoil. And then these are the new perks on it that you can swap from. This is what this gun is known for. So it has one way, bonus agility on precision kills, stacks up to 3 times. And then, or another is the other perk, bonus armor on non-precision kills, stacks up to 3 times. So far I've been testing this out. I went in, ran a couple missions with it, and I was using the bonus agility perk, and I had that on, so I had it stacked. So each thing stacks, if I remember correctly, it's 10, 15? I'll have to double check. It's more than 10 seconds. So every time you make a kill, it stacks, and it says bonus agility, then it'll say x2, then it'll say x3, and the timer will tick down, and it doesn't reset after that. So you have to wait for it to drop all the way, and then you can get kills again, and then it'll put the multiplier back up there. But when I had the agility one on, it didn't feel like I was moving any faster than normal. So I don't know if that was just, I don't know, because I was in a larger area, so maybe I was moving faster, but it's just harder to reference because there's not a lot of things by you that you're running by. But I didn't feel like I was moving any faster. And here's another problem that Destiny has right now, and this isn't a huge problem, this is just a nitpick, this is information that I really want to know. So on the other perk, or another, bonus armor on non-precision kills stacks up to 3 times. Okay, so the bonus armor. So I have so my warlock chest piece gives me bonus armor when I have a arc damage subclass on. Okay, how much bonus armor am I getting? This weapon stacks up to 3 times. So technically I should have 4 stacks of bonus armor. How much bonus armor is that? How much of a difference is it making in PvE and PvP? Please give me a number or something. Put in parentheses next to my armor level or next to my light level that tells me how much more of a bonus I am actually getting. Is this weapon worth it for those, 3 stacks of bonus armor that I'm stacking on top of it? I would like to know that information, because then that'll tell me if this weapon is really worth it. Like the agility perk and the being able to aim under fire and improve range and accuracy, I'm sure this thing is going to be awesome in PvP. I've been killed by it a couple times. I actually jumped into PvP with it, and I normally don't do this, but two of my other fire team guys that we normally run with were on, and we wanted to go farm for some legendary marks, so we figured we'd jump into two games. So we went into Rift first, and I took this into Rift, and it performed amazingly. And this match was pretty evenly matched, so I quite enjoyed it. So we played Rift. We got the spark a bunch of times, and I was getting kills with this thing. Super low recoil, being able to keep your aim while you're getting shot at was perfect. Really fun match. Probably one of the funner matches that I've had on Rift. It was really close. Everyone was popping their supers. We were grabbing the spark and running it in, shutting down their spark runner. For some reason on the map, it's the map where there's a train track in the middle. If you take the spark and then just move left around the back, like the other team, I don't know if they just didn't know the map well enough, but they weren't doing anything. And then they were standing around the rift where you had to put it in. And I think our main guy, Platinum, that was running the spark this time, he got 5 kills on the rift because people were just standing around watching for some reason. Just totally destroyed him. And then it's kind of funny. I know I was talking about, it was probably a couple days ago, that I was trying to get sword kills going in rift and getting these sword kills without actual heavy ammo and stuff. And it was fun. But you can definitely see how your other teammates could probably get pretty upset if you're in there and you're only going for sword kills. Like, there was another person on the team, that was all they were going for. Normally I would do it, I'd try to get a couple shots on him. That way you only have to go up once and melee him. But this guy was just running at people with shotguns, running at people with rocket launchers, running at people with swords and fusion rifles, and just going at them straight up, not even trying to sneak. Just hopefully they're like praying that something happens and they get this sword kill. And they were just like feeding us points. And they were always a man down because this guy was coming in. And I think he got maybe one or two kills with the sword, because eventually you're going to get lucky. And I guess that's what they're counting on, that eventually if you play enough games, you get one kill a game. You know, you have to play 25 games, but you're going to get it eventually if you're playing like that. I can see where that would be pretty frustrating for a teammate. Like, when I tried it, I tried to at least contribute, or I went into Rumble and did it. But pretty funny. Like, sometimes you're like, yeah, I should just give them the sword kills. Because the faster everyone gets their sword kills, the quicker they're going to be out of the Crucible. They're going to be back to playing PvE, or they're just going to not have to run that anymore. So I'm really liking the Gemini. I'm excited to see how it plays out, if it's one of the better weapons. I mean, it's, so far I'm going to take it into the raid, see how it does, see if that armor buff actually helps me out during the raid. But then it's taking up that exotic slot, and to take down the Warpriest, we're going to need some sniper action on that dude. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what I get tomorrow from Arms Day packages. I've got a sniper rifle coming, see if it comes with some good perks. And maybe I'll just infuse that up to 300, and then I'll keep the Gemini in my exotic slot. And keep, well, I'm pretty close to getting my sword tomorrow for Arms Day. Also complete, I think it's the second last step to get the sword. I've got to get the material from the gunsmith. Then after that, I've got to run the sunless cell. Yeah, wherever you fight the Dark Blade, I got to go fight him, and then I'll get my exotic sword. So pretty close to completing that. And it's, you know, it's been 3 weeks now that since Taken King has dropped, and I'm still finishing up quests. Right now, there's not more quests coming in after I finish this quest with Varix. So I think I've got some Crucible stuff, and I've got the raid stuff that I got to do. But then I've got old subclass stuff that I can do. I'll do that later. So, I mean, after 3 weeks and finally finishing up some of the quests and, you know, just getting into the raid, there's a lot of content here. For $40, that's a lot of content, guys. If you're on the fence, you're probably not on the fence if you're listening to a podcast about Destiny. So go pick it up if you haven't picked it up. It's well worth the $40. Just do it. I like it. So, I want to talk about the Grimoire card for the Bowling Gemini. It talks about Guardians and Foundries coming together and collaborating on the design of this weapon. So the Bowling is supposed to be this, you know, hey, Guardians came together, they told us what they wanted, and, you know, this is what we got. We got you the Scout Rifle with these perks, and this is what you guys wanted, this is what we built. And I was thinking, you know, if Guardians really collaborated with some of the Foundries on what they wanted in the Scout Rifle, I bet it would look a lot different than what the Gemini is. Like, just things that I came up with off the top of my head, I would say, okay, if I'm designing a scout rifle, I want it to shoot rockets. I want these rockets to rotate between void arc and solar damage. I want these rockets to have tracking out of my scout rifle. I want them to have wolf pack rounds out of my scout rifle. And I want them, every time I get a kill with this, I want them to supercharge my super. See, that's what a Guardian would say to the Foundries. And the Foundries would probably go, okay, we'll get on it. And then they just give us this anyway. And we're like, fine, whatever. We'll go kill Fallen with it. That's what my scout rifle would do anyway. And now yesterday I said that today I wanted to discuss a couple things with matchmaking. On the forums, and this is a topic that, I mean, it's polarizing. There's people that are for it. There's people that are against it. And I can see both sides of the story. But I'll give you my take. So as far as matchmaking goes, you know, there's matchmaking for our PvP stuff. There's matchmaking for normal story strikes. Even like the level 8 story strike you do when you fight Sepix the first time. That's match made. Two other people drop in with you. The strike playlist brings people in with you. And the weekly strike playlist bring people with you. I'm trying to think if I miss anything, but I'm pretty sure that's all the stuff that is match made. So things that are not match made are the Nightfall, patrol missions, normal story missions, and the raids. So there's four things that have matchmaking. There are four things that are non-matchmaking. I think the big thing that people want for matchmaking, and I don't even know if it's necessarily Nightfall, because you don't see a lot of people complaining about Nightfall, are the raids. So I was reading on the forums. There are people on looking for, you know, the LFG websites, looking for group websites, that are saying that they have not run the raid yet, but they are looking for people that have raid experience to run it. Now, this is rubbing a lot of people the wrong way, because there are a lot of people that have not run the raid yet, and they want to find those groups. But in order to find those groups, all the groups on the LFG sites are saying they want people with raid experience. Now, they want people with raid experience because they want to be able to go in and finish the raid in a timely manner and get done. And I think it's messed up that someone that hasn't done the raid is, like, putting stipulations on. If you're going to join my raid group, you better have raid experience. Like, well, you don't even have raid experience. So where are you to, you know, tell people that they need to have raid experience? It's like, you think these people are going to come in and teach you? Okay, so a couple points that people have made. Like, I understand. No, I don't understand people being so selective with this. I mean, this is a community game that they're trying to push. I understand you want to get done with the content as soon as possible. You want to get those drops. You want to move on. You want to move on to the other content. But it is better for you to take the time to teach people the raid and the mechanics than to leave them just looking up videos. Like, there are a lot of good videos you can watch that show you the mechanics for the raid and show you how to do the raid. But those, I mean, it's good information, but just from watching those videos isn't going to tell you how to be successful, or it's not going to make you successful. It can tell you how to be successful. If you don't die, you'll probably be successful, but it's easy to say that. It's harder to execute that with a team of people that you don't know. People should stop having these expectations that, you know, I'm only doing this if you've done it before, just to do it faster. Teach people the raid. I mean, that's, expand the community, expand the knowledge base of the players. Help other people learn the mechanics, bring them in. There's a lot of good players that, you know, don't raid all the time. They can take commands, they can do the content. Teach them the content so that they can go and teach other people the content. This whole, you know, you can't do this, must be light level 300, must have Gjallarhorn, must have, you know, must be over 21. It's like, teach people the raid. Stop being so selective. You know, sometimes you're going to wipe and the raid, and it's not going to work out. It's a learning experience for everyone. You know, if you're bringing people in, new people, you're going to find new friends. You're going to find people that you're going to want to play with. People with the same personality types as you. There are a lot of good players out there that just want to finish the raid. They, you know, they don't have a clan. They don't have a lot of friends. We need to be helpful to a lot of these people that are looking to do this content. I mean, the raids are amazing content. People need help finding groups to go in and do them. Be helpful. Don't be so selective. I mean, it just bugs me when people are just locking people out of stuff that they want to do for one particular reason or another. Like, I understand if, like, you know, you want people to have leveled weapons, you want people to you know, have a decent light level. Like, I mean, it's recommended 290. Can you get away with that? Probably with a good raid team that knows what they're doing, you can. And you know what? If they bring you in, you're going to get higher gear to increase your light level. Locking people out of this content is just slowing them down. And it's, I mean, you sound like a jerk to me. And that's my opinion, that, you know, let people in. I mean, they'll surprise you. Maybe some people won't surprise you. Maybe some people you'll just automatically boot. That's fine, whatever. But teach people the raid. Teach them the mechanics. Hopefully after I go through it, you know, we've been going blind. We're going to hopefully try and bring more people in so that they can get the experience also. You know, and for the people that are looking for groups, you know, try and find a clan. There are a lot of clans out there that'll take you in that are, you know, good people to play with. And, I mean, they're out there. Just look for them. There's a whole clan section on Bungie.net. I know Bungie.net isn't, like, the best place to be all the time just because of the attitude that you encounter with people there, the elitist gamers. I mean, there's a whole range of people, personality types that you find there. But, no, find a group. You can find a group. If you really want a group, find a group that'll work around your schedule. There's a lot of people that are probably in the same circumstances. You only get an hour to play. There's probably a group out there that only gets an hour to do the raids, and they do it, you know, 1 hour every day until they get through the raid. You can find them. Don't give up. It's a fun, Destiny's fun. Don't give up on it. Keep going for it. All right, so I was going to talk a little bit more about the Grimoire. Now let me talk about, today was reset day, so this is what the reset brought us. So the daily heroic quest, these aren't like the heroic quests from Vanilla Destiny. I mean, I jumped in, you have to kill the three wizards. The second you jump into this heroic quest, you start getting shot at from all these fallen from all over the place on the Cosmodrome. And it's hectic. I mean, you got to be on your toes. You're getting shot by these bubbles that make you go dark. You're getting shot by hobgoblins. Everything's trying to kill you. So, I mean, it's pretty intense. You got to take down the four globes. You got to get down there. You got to kill the wizards. That was today's daily heroic. The Nightfall is the Undying Mind. It has Epic, Solar, Juggler, Catapult, and Fresh Troops. And the Court of Oryx is new this week. Tier 3 is the Wizard Balwar. So go in, let's figure out how to take down this wizard, get the Grimoire card, and figure out what that's all about. Guys, I'll talk more tomorrow about a couple things that I found in some calcified fragments that I thought were pretty interesting about Oryx. And he's just kind of set up this crazy little scheme for himself. So we'll talk more about that tomorrow. Alright guys, this has gone a little too long. Sorry, more rambling about matchmaking. You know, just be cool to each other. That's what Destiny's all about. We're all trying to fight the Taken. You know, let's fight the real enemy, not each other. Peace out.